This is a Crowd podcast.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one where we catch up and talk shit.
Perfect.
That's basically what it's gonna be.
You know, when you did that intro, I feel like, I don't know if that actually happened, but like, I think my mouth made a weird noise. It was like, and I was like, I wonder if you could pick that up while you're saying that. I was like, do I make you do it again?
It
it sounded like in my head.
I was like, human noises.
Yeah. Or like, you know, when you do a throat gurgle burp and you're just there, like, and it's like,
yeah.
And you're like,
Those kind of things always happen when you're lying in bed with someone and your body just makes the weirdest noise.
Yeah.
So like a throat noise,
a stomach
noise
that sounds like a fart.
Yeah.
And it's always like this look of like, yes, did you fart? It's like, no, it's just the gas moving around inside my stomach. It's not released.
Yeah, I'm always like, oh, sorry, I'm just really hungry.
Really hungry. Yeah, or like, I'm just digesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite often in the morning you'll have like a stomach conversation with your partner.
Yes.
So you'll both be lying there and it'll be like
generally over
their stomach will be like
generally over like tea or coffee or whatever you have in the morning. If you're drinking something in the morning, your body's like waking up, like trying to process this.
Yeah, I think it's quite cute actually.
Yeah, a little grumble.
Anyway, Reed, how are you?
I'm actually not doing so great at the moment, which sucks balls. My mental health is not great.
No.
And last week our family doggo died, which was sad.
Oh,
the boohoo.
Hochie.
Yeah, Hochie. Bless her cotton socks. But
Hochie.
It was all the right ways for a dog to die, you know. It was like old as fuck. You know, like, she was, it wasn't a surprise. She was getting poorlier. And then on top of that, she died in her bed. We can't ask for more than that. We didn't have to put her down, take her to the vets, which is what we had to do for our first doggo. So, there's all good things. And I think also Hochi dying has almost given me permission to cry about stuff and, like, have a physical release about shit, which is good.
That's a game changer.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Because my first dog, when Topper died, didn't cry. Didn't even really register. I think I buried all those feelings down. And still to this day, she died like 5 years ago or something, I'm still having dreams where I wake up devastated, crying in the dream because, you know, Topper was drowning or Topper was ill. Weirdly, I woke up from one of those dreams. And then my brother woke me up with a phone call being like, just to let you know, Hochi's gone. I was like, oh fuck.
Wow.
The feels. Yeah.
It's funny how we have like a second sense about these kind of things. You kind of just know when something's off.
I mean, me.
I know you don't believe. You had a fucking dream about your dog dying and then it died.
For me, I feel like that's just mad coincidence because I've been thinking about our ill dog Hochi and then, you know, those are the emotions and my brain processing that. And it just happened to be on the same day. I love that shit.
Were you expecting it to happen that day?
No. Otherwise, I think we would have been like, it's time.
Yeah.
But she was,
I think there's something psychic going on here. Really.
Well, I do see ghosts and I don't believe in ghosts. So some shit's going
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. Flashback to the Halloween episode where Reed told us her story where she saw an actual ghost.
An actual ghost.
Oh my god, that actually brings me on to a really funny story.
Oh, yeah.
You know what a meet cute is?
Yes. Remind me.
You meet someone in real life.
Oh,
you meet someone in real life. It's basically like when you're dating. Uh-huh. It's like not on a dating app. Like, oh my god, you meet someone in real life.
Okay, right.
It's called a meet cute.
New lingo.
So the other day I was up at a viewpoint called Stunt Road, and quite often like people come up there on their motorbikes or in their fancy cars because it's like a really cool road to drive around. It's really windy and it's like through the canyons. Amazing views. And there was a guy that stopped just in front of where I parked my Mustang, and he had a Harley, and he came over to me and was like, can you take a photo? Can you take a photo of me? And we put on her like a little photo shoot because he was like, no, not that angle, like move this angle. And like, and then he'd look at the photos and he'd be like, oh, that photo's great, but my face isn't great. And I was like, what are you talking? He was quite hot.
Oh, really?
He was buff. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. And so I retook the photos, and then at the end of the little communication, I was like, oh, you should definitely credit me in the photo.
Oh, of course.
So that he could take my Instagram. What brings this on to Spirit is that he started chatting to me. He messaged me later that evening being like, hey, Florence, it was really great to meet you today. And then he ended up sending me a link to a YouTube video. He was like, oh, just randomly watching this. And it was like some guy talking about talking to spirits and the afterlife. And I was like, okay, this...
What an odd thing to send.
This is a really... Right? Like, okay. The first conversation that you have with someone, and then he was like, you know, like, I've been really getting into like souls, like there's this place where like your souls prepare before they're in the world, and then like all the ghosts and paranormal activity that happens, and I don't know,
he
was like, I had a really amazing experience with a psychic a few years ago, and it's like changed my life.
I mean,
and it was just a imagine just coming into a new person, like the first thing that you start talking about is this like hocus pocus.
I guess that must be really important for him. What do you call it on like a dating app where you're like, this is like a no-go, or like has to be a deal breaker?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a deal breaker. Yeah. So he's like,
must believe in ghosts.
Sending you like the ultimate shit to like prep you and be like, how do you feel about this? Yeah. Wait for the answer. How did you respond?
I was like, oh, that's definitely very interesting. And I said, I said, like, I don't not believe in all this stuff. Mm. Like, I believe that there could be something out there, like open to learn more about it, really. But then what happened the next day is I was like, oh, so what are you up to today? And he was like, oh, I'm going for a lunch date, and then I'm doing this, going to a friend's party. And then in the same paragraph that he wrote to me, he was like, as for dating, at the moment, I'm just looking to meet new people. I just got out of a long-term thing in March. And I was like, this is odd. I didn't even ask anything about dating. What do you think that means?
Well, he obviously fancies you, and I feel like he's trying to figure out the spirituality between you and him, and if you're on the same path, and if this might work, but not asking you directly, very much on the safe plane of, I'm going to let you know about this stuff, I'm going to ask you about this stuff, but not be like, do you want to go on a fucking date? But,
yeah, I think he was saying, like, I don't want to date, I want to fuck.
Maybe. How did you get that?
Because he was like, I'm not looking for any, like, I'm just meeting new people. Like, I'm not looking for anything serious. But that's basically what he was saying.
Yeah, fair.
Or was he just saying, was he thinking like, oh, this girl obviously really fancies me, and I'm just going to let her know that I'm not dating, and I just wanted to be like, I was just being friendly.
Potentially. I mean, it could literally be one of a thousand answers. And the thing is, you won't know until you ask him. There's no point racking your brain over it. You can either ask him directly and find out, because we're adults now. We can ask shit like that and be like, hey, are you insinuating? Just to be clear on the situation. Or just say what you want. Be like, yeah, me too. Would you be down to fuck? Or let's go on a date. You know? And then maybe find out what he means more in person, because it's so hard over text.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got 2 days left here, so fuck that. I don't have time.
You sure? That's enough time for a fuck.
I don't know.
If you really wanted to fuck him, if you got that kind of vibe from him, and you were like,
yeah, I didn't.
It wouldn't matter. Yeah.
He was quite shy.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like, yeah, maybe
which
just
makes me like awkward.
Not down to fuck. Yeah, and that's fair enough. And you're right. He could have been stating it as, just to let you know before you assume anything or go anywhere, or yeah, that this is. I'm laying it down. Little does he know is that you have a different agenda.
Or was he saying, because he had previously said that he was going on a lunch date, he was explaining his dating situation that meant that he could also date other people?
Again, could be any...
I'm reading into it way too much.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he is. He's probably not sitting there overthinking it.
I don't think so, no. I mean, I don't even really care. I'm just,
I was going to say,
just,
what?
Talking about it for the podcast.
Why do we even read into these things when it's like, ah, I didn't even want to fuck him. I don't really want to know. I'm out of here, you know?
I'm fascinated with people.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's like, what caused you to get to that place? But of course, like, that's like a whole question, journey, that thing in itself. Even if he explained it all, we probably still wouldn't understand. Like how do we get to where we are now, and why do we say the things that we say when it comes to sex, romance? Probably just like years and years of shit.
Anyway, it was cute meeting someone like that.
Yeah, that
it
is really
cute. It was a very
cute,
like, romantic way to meet someone.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll write it into a romance story.
Nice. And it's called a meet cute, as in, like, C-U-T-E. Meet cute.
Yeah.
Huh. Cute. Meet cute. They're so cute. Holy shit.
So we were in LA together.
Hey, Los Angeles, baby. Yeah, it was such a good trip. But Florence and I had been talking about doing it for, what, years? And we finally managed to get out there.
Yeah, literally.
Florence got to show me all the fun bits and also drive my sweet ass around. God damn.
Oh my God, but it was my absolute pleasure because we got the sickest car.
It was insane. For just a small birthday upgrade, it's still insane. That's the first thing I tell people. I'm like, it's like, oh, how did you enjoy that? It's like, well, we got to drive around in a Mustang convertible. Yeah. And every time a bassy song comes on now, I'm just like, I just want to be in the Mustang again. Like, such a fucking advert for just a car. Ridiculous. Yeah. Mustang, Ford Mustang, if you're hearing this now, please sponsor the podcast and both give us cars. I'll take an electric one when they're made. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Oh my God, I need it in my life. We bang cars so much. We bang them.
Every time I see a nice car, I'm like, wish Florence was here to see the nice car too.
Yeah. We had a really funny moment on the freeway, didn't we? With a black matte Lamborghini.
We had several moments on the freeway. But yeah, we ended up doing we ended up doing some proper car flirting of like,
yeah.
Oh my God, two hot boys in a hot convertible car. And we're like, hi.
and then they followed us.
Driving a little bit, following us. Like making the, oh, they're back again. Hello. I fucking hope that's how I car flirt.
I was in my like car get up, which is my cap and glasses, which is not hot.
Well, what but... people don't tell you when you get a convertible is if you have long hair, your hair is fucked. It is fucked.
Fucked.
You have to tie it up and put a cap on. You can't get away with long hair. Otherwise you end up getting to your place like a complete haystack.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I haven't done? I haven't fucked in the convertible. That's sad, isn't it?
It's not very comfortable. It won't be very comfortable.
I'm not.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not into... I feel like the only way that car sex would actually be good is if you're so into that person. That is always going to be good, you know?
Or if you're really into the car, but you're doing it mainly for the car.
You're just fucking on the bonnet of the car because you're into the car. You're like, yes, I'm basically fucking my Mustang.
Yes, yeah. And it's on. It would be too hot in LA though. Like the amount of times we got into the car and literally burnt ourselves, even with the roof up, burnt ourselves because it was just like so hot.
Our little bottoms.
Little bottoms and bigs.
Yeah. We also had another funny time. Would you like to divulge your drum and bass night story?
Oh, yes. Okay, so my D&B night, Florence wanted to get laid. It was a LA fuck buddy out there. And I luckily found a drum and bass night, which there isn't very many of in LA. And so Florence, mummy dropped me off at the drum and bass night. And I went there and partied alone while she got laid. And it was,
And then mummy went to get a bang.
Yeah, mommy went to get banged. And then we reconvened back at home. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was also one of those nights where I was like, I'm not going to drink anything. And then before you know it, everyone's buying you drinks.
And then you got wasted.
Yeah, fully, like, American white girl wasted.
Yeah. I just wanted to get laid before my birthday. That was my thing. Yeah. I was just like, must have sex before my birthday.
Needed to happen. Had to be done.
I did. I had one of those horny itches that needed to be scratched.
Yeah. Yeah.
Needed to have an orgasm, basically.
Yeah.
Which was kind of annoying because I think I preempted the whole night with, oh, this guy, I have an orgasm with him really quickly because his dick fits like a glove. And I was just too in my head.
Mm-hmm.
For the first round, I was too in my head because I was like, I need this so badly. Yeah. All I want is to have an orgasm. And it was great, but I was like really frustrated.
Yeah.
And then we finished. I went to the toilet and then I got back into the bed and I was like, can we go again? Would you be up for round two? And luckily, He was,
yeah.
Which is rare.
I feel
for a guy
like,
to like...
Yeah, that is rare. Especially that quick after. They need like a good...
Yeah.
Some good downtime. Actually, even most people just need some good downtime. But I do find that with G-spot orgasms, I need to fuck at least twice to be able to like have them happen. And you have to be really fucking horny.
Because you need
horny.
To get out of your head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It almost needs to be like a fuck that you're not planning. That you're, you know, that just either happens, or again when you're fucking hungover, and you're just like, oh fuck it, whatever, like I'm just horny. That's
so
or when
true.
You've been fucking loads. Otherwise, I think it's really hard to have a G-spot orgasm the first time you fuck. Yeah.
Round two happened almost immediately, so that was a tip from me. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I was like, you know, when you come and you're literally just lying just there, done. Like, okay now. Please wind this up. Yeah. And I was like, come on, baby, come for me.
Classic. I want you to come inside
please
me.
Please come.
What do you want in? So we also did an amazing photo shoot out there together, which we cannot
we
wait
did.
To release the photos on. And this was with, I guess, our friend now, Carlo, who is named Sunday Morning View on Instagram, who does incredible photography, but very much about like body positivity, empowering the body. He's very much like, I do not want to edit the photos. I want you to come without makeup. I want you to come with your real body and your real attitude and photo all of it. He's very, very much like into taking photos of stretch marks and body rolls and all the stereotypical non-sexy parts of a person. And it was just such a magical shoot. It was just so great.
It makes you feel so confident and beautiful, mm-hmm. regardless of all those things that the media has told us aren't beautiful. Like that, if you go on his page, there's some awesome photos mm-hmm. of stretch marks and cellulite that actually just looks banging.
Yeah.
Like it looks so good.
It looks like art.
These are just bodies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was just really nice being able to us shoot together as well. It was like really... We vlogged the whole thing, so the whole thing's going up on YouTube.
If you want an awesome video.
If you want to check that out, it's either out already or it's coming out. But that will be there.
Yeah.
And we will be releasing the photos soon.
And there's going to be some great couples shots.
Oh my God, yes. We got seriously intimate. I wonder how much we can show. Probably some of it's going to maybe slip on. Like the behind the scenes footage is going to go on OnlyFans because there's a lot of tit out.
So much tit.
So much titties.
But yeah, that was a really great experience.
So yeah, I grew out my pubes for this shoot because I really wanted to show people you can have pubes. But of course, like, you know me, I trimmed mine back into a little heart shape.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a little heart shape.
Aww.
Yeah.
That is so cute.
So cute. I'm loving it.
Did you take pictures?
I did, yes. They're all
on
OnlyFans.
Have you still got it in a heart?
It's not a very well-kept heart, but yeah, it's a heart. I need to go back over it.
I've never done shapes in my pubes before, but... Go off.
Holy shit.
Talking of pubes, this episode is sponsored by Manscaped. They're all about below-the-waist grooming.
Now, Florence and I love pubes, but sometimes when you're receiving one of those hardcore blowjobs and all you can see are hairy balls swinging in your face, it would be so nice if my partner were like, you know what? Gonna take it all off there, see what happens.
Or when someone asks you to put their whole ball sack in your mouth to give it a little suckle, you know, it feels quite good. It's kind of nicer when there's not pubes involved.
I mean, come on, who doesn't like sucking on that shaven haven? Mwah.
So Manscaped are here to make all your dreams come true, to keep things running smoothly with their recently launched Performance Package 4.0, which is the ultimate bundle for men, or women if you just want to trim your pubes. It includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose trimmer, and a deodorant, toner, boxers, and even a travel bag to take your goodies with you on the go.
The trimmer even comes with an LED spotlight so you can see where you're trimming and get a more precise shave.
And as a special treat, curious fuckers, we're giving you a 20% off plus free shipping with the code GIVEN.
That's GIVEN for 20% off and free shipping when you visit manscaped.com. I got laid. Oh, we did fucking Pride. We did LA Pride and I got laid during LA Pride as well. That was good.
You did. Mm-hmm. LA Pride was very much a vibe. It was so, so good. It was like sunshine, palm trees, good, like amazing, excited people. Yeah. The parade was really, really awesome. We were with our friend Kelsey.
Yeah, Kelsey and Lauren. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, Kelsey's got an amazing podcast. Lauren's got a YouTube channel. It was really nice hanging out with those two.
Tell us more about the lay.
We fully dressed up. So the lay was Florence and I were at a little cafe having a drink and our waiter, Florence is literally, you're like, Reed.
Oh, yeah.
The waiter's pretty cute. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, all right. But when he came, I was like, oh, fuck, like, really cute. Not just like, all right, okay, cool. But,
yeah. You were, like, so dumbstruck that you verbally just vomited out that he was very attractive to him and he did not know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. I can't hold that shit in, man. I was just like, holy fucking shit. Like, you know, Florence said you were cute, but, like, you are really fucking cute. Like, what the fuck? And he was like, oh, shit, okay. And I was like, fuck, I'm sorry if I'm making you uncomfortable. I can't keep it in. He was a gorgeous man, very like classic handsome type kind of dude. Mm. And then yeah, we got each other's numbers and it didn't look like we were going to sync up because we were just so fucking busy and he lived quite far away. Yeah. And there was like a really opportune moment just after we were at Pride and Florence went back to Kelsey's house to hang out and then I invited this guy over and we had a drink in our hotel and then I quickly had a shag up in our room, which was really surprisingly very good. It was like for a first time fuck, I was shocked at how good it was.
And you're on your period too.
And I was on my period. I'd already pre-warned him. I was like, what's your thoughts on period sex? And he was like,
isn't that quite, I'm like telling someone that you're just gonna have like a one-off one-night stand with that you're on your period is quite like a, I feel for me, I'm always, if it's a one-off or it's the first time, I would never want to be on my period. But if it's just like a partner, then I wouldn't care.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like I would almost care less. Oh, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I was just like, fuck
it. I mean,
it,
it's such a normal thing.
Yeah. Especially because period, it's hardly, there's only like a couple of days where you are super bloody and the blood's gonna go everywhere. Most of the time when you fuck on your period, it's kind of like that brown dischargey goop, and if you use lube and condoms you barely notice the blood. I mean, sometimes there has been massacres, but like it just fucking happens. You're getting laid, so what? Like, get over it.
I did notice on my pillow in the morning that there was a blood thing, like handprint.
Yeah, Florence was like, please don't fuck on my side of the bed. And I was like, okay, we didn't. We literally pushed all the pillows out of the way. And I don't know what happened.
But somehow.
I genuinely don't know how that fingerprint got there. Don't know whether it was mine or his. I'm not sure. I think one of the reasons why it was so good is because I really wasn't expecting it to be good. I was honestly, yeah. And this is so bad because I did judge him. I expected him to be young and inexperienced and not to be communicative and just be in it for his own pleasure. And he was none of those things.
Wow, yeah.
And he was really honest from the beginning. I think that's what changed everything, is we had a really honest conversation and he was very open about him not having a lot of sex, and it had been 7 months since the last time he had sex because he hasn't really pursuing sex. And I was like really wowed by his honesty, especially yeah. with the delayed ejaculation stuff. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Thank you for telling me that. So as soon as he mentioned he had an issue with having an orgasm, I was like, okay, well, let's take coming off the table. Let's take the pressure away. Yeah, you don't expect amazing. Me to come. I'm not going to expect you to come. Let's just go up, have some fun, fool around, explore each other's bodies. And I think that really helped. I think it helped with him and also with me. I had no expectations to come and I ended up having like G-spot yeah. orgasms. And I was a bit like, what the fuck?
That's what all sex should be like. We should always mm-hmm. take away the orgasm, really.
Yeah.
Because that's when we, like, when you properly enjoy the session.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
so
not just
good.
About, like, getting to the goal. Whereas, like, you know, when I had sex, it was all about the goal. And then I was frustrated at the end and, like, ah, this mm-hmm. is really annoying, because I was just expecting to have the orgasm.
Yeah.
Whereas you just took that off the table and had a really great time.
Yeah. I maybe I got to just do it forever. Because I still do that. Yeah. I still go, okay, we're having sex. I want to have an orgasm. And sometimes it's just so hard to reach and really frustrating, and yeah. sometimes it's like, oh, may as well give up, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we would just orgasm more if we just didn't even try.
yeah it's maybe we would, but it's so hard to change that in your brain, you know. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, okay, is. Well fine, I'll take off orgasms, but like you really have to,
but you still
hard.
Want an orgasm. Yeah,
like the real you's very much like, nah, you want to come
on.
Yeah it's, like, it's hard. I still want to come. I still want to have that climax.
Yeah,
I'm so horny. Sam and I, this was the first time that we really tried to go full hog on our non-monogamous relationship. Was he was away in New York at the same
yes.
time, and it was like, yeah, we had conversations about it a couple of weeks beforehand, like, how do you feel about being fully non-monogamous? And it was like,
yeah,
a good conversation. And we chatted about worries, we chatted about things that we weren't comfortable with, that we were comfortable with, how to talk about it and discuss it when we come back.
So
as
good.
Well, I think that was really important. I realise that I want to know immediately, like the same day. I want you to be like, well, I wanted Sam to be like, hey, I just had sex, and I wanted to talk about it immediately. But Sam is very different in that he wants to talk about it later, afterwards, when we're back together. So it's kind of like working that out, and how
compromises.
The compromise and how to work out the communication properly. And it worked out. Like, Sam got so lucky on his trip. And we had such a good conversation.
Amazing.
Coming back, and I was so proud of him. And I was so proud of us for getting there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was
I'm really
quite successful.
That's like a new step, especially for, like, an existing relationship that wasn't mm-hmm. necessarily non-monogamous. And then, you know, taking the big, brave dive into it is really big. But
yeah.
Do you feel like potentially it was easier because you built the foundation before? Like, do you think it was good to have the foundation of monogamy before?
I don't know, actually.
Or no difference?
I feel like it definitely helped that we were both on holiday, because it was
yeah.
less. I think that was a big milestone. It was easier doing things and sort of compartmentalizing when you're doing it in the same place. It's almost like
yeah.
harder to be like, oh, sorry, I can't see you tonight, I've got other plans. And yeah, it can get a bit complicated. So on holiday, it's very much just like, you can do what you like, I can do what I like, and then afterwards let's talk about it. I do
I feel
think
like that's the best way on holiday.
Yeah,
you kind of need the freedom.
You need the freedom. Or if one of you is going away, then the other person can have that freedom back at home. But you have
yes.
to sort of figure out
yeah.
really what you want. I think if you don't want to know at all, if you don't want to have that conversation afterwards or no during or anything, I feel like it's very dangerous to go into non-monogamy like that. You need to almost
yeah.
have complete transparency. Otherwise,
uh-huh.
mistrust develops.
Definitely.
And that's not that's not great. There are of course like boundaries and limits you can put up and be like, okay, cool, I don't want to know any more of that, but thank you for telling me what you've told me already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like listening to yourself and not trying to pretend to be okay with it because you, the other person wants you to be okay with it. If something does hurt or something does feel a bit different,
talk about
or
it.
Wrong, talk about it. Even if it's something weird, even if it's like, okay, it's fine that you fucked her, but I didn't like that you kissed her, you know? It could be something like that. Or like, mm-hmm. It's fine that you like gave that person head, but just going over there and having a cuddle session, yeah, that makes me feel uncomfortable. So it just, it so depends. Like really listen to yourself. And really listen to what the other person has to say as well. And
you have to be so communicative when you do non-monogamy. You should be anyway in a monogamous relationship, but I think non-monogamy creates a lot of success in relationships because it allows for open communication about all feelings. Like you don't have to hide feeling jealous, you don't have to hide feeling insecure, you know, you just put it on the forefront and you talk it through and figure out how it's going to work for both of you.
Yeah, when it's out there, there is room for processing and again compromise and learning how to make things better for the other person. It's never just a case of like, I wanted to do this, so you have to deal with it. It's very much just like, okay, well, how does that make you feel? How can I do this better next time? How can I... Am I boring you, Florence?
No, it was a morning.
Yeah, you nearly made me yawn then.
No,
I was like,
it's just early. It's 9 a.m. Come on.
Yeah, it's late over here, man. No, bro.
You should be yawning because it's late.
Yeah, I'm ready to clock off, bro. We're such pussies, man. I suppose.
You caught me mid yawn as well, so I didn't even get to complete it. Thanks.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That's so shit. That's like a half sneeze.
Yeah, literally.
So yeah, that was great. That was a really great learning curve for Sam and I. And we're still trying to figure out non-monogamy and what that's like back here with each other. And I can't push him or rush things because I'm used to it. I mean, actually, it's even so totally different with another person. It's a whole different learning game and trying to figure each other out. So, yeah, it's just taking baby steps. Don't just jump into it and fuck somebody. It's like baby steps, hypotheticals. How would you feel if somebody bought me a drink at a bar? How would you feel if I went on a date with somebody? How would you feel if I met someone on a night out and had a kiss and that was it? You know, it's a lot of... Yeah, trying to figure it out. And also taking risks as well. I think there was a lot of worry around how we would feel once we fucked other people. But kind of once you do it, the anxiety and the fear is so great before you do it. Once you do it, you're a bit like, oh, okay, this isn't actually as bad as I thought it was going to be. I really thought
it
I was
really
going to lose watching.
Yeah, it's so weird, all the feelings that you kind of think you always project onto yourself how you're going to feel about a certain situation, but when it actually happens, it's never what you think it's going to be. It's never as bad.
Holy shit, we've had a little break, which has been a nice summer break, and LA was incredible.
It has been lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, having a break has been amazing. We've been getting over burnout. We have been living it large in the sunshine and just everyone needs to have a break from work. That's the moral of the story.
Yes, and we get that break from the podcast twice a year now, which is lovely.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be more juice to spill on the next episode. But until then, curious fuckers, make sure you go and rate and leave a review for the podcast if you loved it. And I'm sure that you were excited about us being back after our little break. Lol.
Yes. If you want to see our LA vlogs, that will be on our YouTube channel very soon. And of course, we'll have the video up where we do shoot with Sunday Morning View. And we look all sexy.
Oh yes, nude photographs, don't mind if I do.
If you want to keep up to date with us, we are of course on Instagram, and we have our personal accounts, Reed Amber X and Florence Bark. We are also on OnlyFans if you want to see our potatties.
Say what?
And of course we have merch, merchandise as well. The Curious Fuckers Club merch. So check that out.
At comecurious.co.uk.
And we will all see you next Thursday.
Love you all. Bye. Oh, God.